This gospel passage from the Sermon on the Mount should be familiar to us. We read it every year on Ash Wednesday. It outlines for us the basic disciplines that we focus on during Lent, that is, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. The fact that we read this reading again now in ordinary time tells us immediately that almsgiving, prayer, and fasting are not limited to Lent. It's ordinary Christianity for all seasons. The focus or the central point of Jesus in this part of the sermon is that we are not to perform our religious acts or our righteous deeds for the sake of impressing other people. This gives us an opportunity to reflect on what we are supposed to do. What actions are we supposed to perform, and how are we to perform them? What exactly is essential to the living out of the Christian life? We can immediately eliminate the two extremes. Some people would take the extreme that you have to do very specific things and follow all the rules to the letter in order to be saved. The other extreme is that you don't really have to do anything because everyone goes to heaven anyway and doesn't really matter. Well, both of those extremes are obviously wrong because the scriptures themselves eliminate them. It's not as if, on the one hand, if we do everything perfectly, well, then God will love us more and accept us. We don't win God's favor by doing good things. And on the other hand, we can't say it doesn't matter what we do because God himself says we should do good and avoid evil. And he doesn't say that everybody goes to heaven. So those two extremes we can easily eliminate. But in between, it's not that obvious exactly what we're supposed to do. If we look into the Old Testament, as we are doing these days, reading about the prophet Elijah, sometimes Elijah does very dramatic public actions on behalf of God, like we heard last week about him defeating the 450 prophets of Baal, calling down fire from heaven. But at other times, we see him all by himself in a cave. No one knows he's there. It's not a public act at all, just him and God. Turning to the life of Jesus, sometimes Jesus does very public miracles. He multiplies loaves, he raises people from the dead. Sometimes he's very secretive. He heals people in private or without their even knowing it's happening. Or he withdraws and no one even knows where he is. He's praying to his Father in secret. So we don't get exact guidelines, exactly what to do, how much to do for people to see, how much not to see. Even in the Sermon on the Mount itself, in chapter 5, which we read last week, Jesus says, you're the light of the world, you're a city set on a hill, you should not put your witness under a bushel basket. Let people see your good deeds so that they may give glory to your Father in heaven. That makes it sound like we're supposed to do things for people to see. Then here in chapter 6, he says, when you do good deeds, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Keep it so completely secret that you yourself can't even see it. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but the idea is we can't come up with exact rules. It's not up to us to determine what fruit will come from our good deeds. The focus isn't on what other people see, or even on what we think we're accomplishing. The central issue here, and Jesus makes it very clear, is what the Father sees. Your Father who sees in secret will repay you. You don't have to do it in order to be repaid. You don't have to do good things or pray or fast in order to make God love you. But when you do these things and God sees them in his own secret way, and he will repay you in his own secret way. Maybe we can reflect a little bit, since this is the week of the Holy Trinity. Sunday was Trinity Sunday. We could reflect on how God himself works. And if you think about it a little bit, you know that most of what God does, we don't know and we don't see. By far, most of what God does is hidden from us. Sometimes I'm fascinated by these reports that the astronomers make when they gaze into the heavens and they discover new things. They get more powerful telescopes. Now they have these space telescopes, telescopes that are out in orbit, so that they're not being, there's no interference from light from the Earth or the atmosphere. And they can see things that no one can see on Earth. Well, God knew they were there. God could see that. Why did God put something a million light years away that no one could ever see? Well, that's to show God does a lot of things that we don't see. They're hidden for his own purposes. And that's just the physical things, galaxies a million light years away. Imagine the things that, even if you have sight to see every physical thing, what about all the spiritual realities that are invisible? We can't see them. No one can see them. Maybe the angels can see them, but we can't see them. So God is not out to impress. He doesn't do things in order to impress people. And he's the model we follow. We're not here in order to impress people or to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. We're here to be united with God. We're here to live the life that God offers to us. Reading this passage reminds me of a conversation I heard some years ago. I was visiting a monastery, Trappist monastery, and one of the monks came out to give a little conference. It was a scheduled thing, a conference to the visitors to the monastery. And the topic he was speaking on was hope. I remember the topic, but I don't remember anything he said. But after the conference, one of the visitors, or maybe someone on retreat there, started chatting with this monk, and he asked him, what does he do? What does a monk do all day? You can't just pray all the time. And this monk said, well, one of his duties was to help take care of the elderly brothers, the seniors. Some of them were not able to walk anymore. They couldn't join in the prayers of the community. So they had a separate section on the monastery grounds for these elderly monks. And so this guy is telling us, oh yeah, he goes there and he helps them bathe and feeds them. And he started to talk about some of these old characters. They sound like cranky old men. And that was the first impression he gave. Old men, sometimes they can be hard to get along with. And then he just stopped for a minute. He said, these monks are really holy. And he found it a great, great privilege to be able to work with these elderly monks. And then he said, and this is the part I remember, came to my mind this morning. He said, the young monks, they look holy, but they're not. The middle-aged monks, they don't look holy, and they're not. But the old monks, they don't look holy, but they are. Gives you something to think about. Holiness is not what is impressive to us. It's not following all the rules. Young monks, of course, they've just learned all the rules. They learn how to eat, they learn how to pray, how to stand, what to wear and where to go, and they do it all perfectly, especially right after their novitiate. The novitiate is that training to do everything right. But it doesn't mean they're bad, but all they've learned is the forms. They haven't really been changed inside. But over the years, as they submit their will to God, and this is true of everybody, not just monks, over the years, as we learn how to give up our will, how we give up caring about what other people think about us, how we dedicate ourselves from inside to doing what God wants us to do, that's how a person grows holy. And I think it's true. It's a good expression of this lesson from today's gospel. When we give alms, it's not according to the rules. Sure, there are some basic rules. Give alms. Don't just keep everything for yourself. Be other-centered. But how you do it, let God train you. Prayer, sure, there's some prayers we should do. Jesus taught us to pray the Our Father. We pray it every day. Go to Mass, especially on Sundays. Don't stay in your inner room all the time. There are some prayers we're supposed to do in public, like going to Mass. But other than that, you know, do what God moves you to do. Today, by the way, is the first day of the novena in preparation for the Feast of the Sacred Heart. You don't have to do that novena, but it's a good thing. You don't have to pray every novena or join every religious event in the parish or every good group. You don't have to impress anyone. Fasting, yes. You fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. But there are lots of ways to deny ourselves, and that comes from inside, even if nobody sees it. So we might not look holy, and maybe we're not, but with God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, whether we look holy or not doesn't matter. He is the one who makes us holy as we yield ourselves, as we unite ourselves with His will.